Chapter 26 Discord. Rand darted through the common room of the Defender of the Dragon Wall and hurried upstairs, grinning at the startled look the innkeeper had given him. Rand wanted to grin at everything. Tom's alive. He flung open the door to his room and went straight to the wardrobe. Loyal and Huron put their heads in from the other room, both in their shirt sleeves and with pipes in their teeth trailing thin streams of smoke.
"Has something happened, Lord Rand?"
Huron asked anxiously. Rand slung the bundle made from Tom's cloak on his shoulder.
"The best that could, next to Ingtar coming. Tom Marilyn's alive, and he's here in Kyrian."
"The gleeman you told me about?"
Loyal said.
"That is wonderful, Rand. I would like to meet him."
"Then come with me, if Huron's willing to keep watch a while." "It would be a pleasure, Lord Rand."
Huron took the pipe out of his mouth.
"That lot in the common room kept trying to pump me, without letting on what they were doing, of course, about who you are, my lord, and why we're in Kyrian. I told them we were waiting here to meet friends, but being Kyrianan, they figured I was hiding something deeper. Let them think what they want. Come on, Loyal."
"I think not," the Ogier sighed. "I really would rather stay here."
He raised a book with a thick finger marking his place.
"I can meet Tom Marilyn some other time."
"Loyal, you can't stay cooped up in here forever. We do not even know how long we'll be in Kyrian. Anyway, we didn't see any Ogier, and if we do, they would not be hunting for you, would they?"
"Not hunting, precisely, but... Rand, I may have been too hasty in leaving Steading Shangtai the way I did. When I do go home, I may be in a great deal of trouble."
His ears wilted.
"Even if I wait until I'm as old as Elder Haman, perhaps I could find an abandoned steading to stay in until then."
"If Elder Haman won't let you come back, you can live in Emmons Field. It's a pretty place."
"A beautiful place."
"I am sure it is, Rand, but that would never work. You see..."
"We will talk about it when it comes to that, Loyal. Now you are coming to see Tom."
The ogre stood half again as tall as Rand, but Rand pushed him into his long tunic and cloak and down the stairs. When they came pounding through the common room, Rand winked at the innkeeper, then laughed at his startled look.
"Let him think I'm off to play his bloody great game. Let him think what he wants. Tom's alive."
Once through the Jangai Gate in the east wall of the city, everyone seemed to know the bunch of grapes. Rand and Loyal quickly found themselves there, on a street that was quiet for the foregate, with the sun halfway down the afternoon sky. It was an old three-story structure, wooden and rickety, but the common room was clean and full of people. Some men were playing at dice in one corner, and some women at darts in another. Half had the look of Kyrianan, slight and pale, but Rand heard Andoran accents, as well as others he did not know. All wore the clothes of the foregate, though, a blend of the styles of half a dozen countries. A few looked around when he and Loyal came in, but they all turned back to what they had been doing. The innkeeper was a woman with hair as white as Tom's and sharp eyes that studied Loyal as well as Rand. She was not Kyrianan by her dark skin and her speech.
"Tom Marilyn, aye, he has a room. Top of the stairs, first door on the right. Likely Dina will let you wait for him there."
She eyed Rand's red coat with its herons on the high collar and golden brambles embroidered up the sleeves, and his sword.
"My lord."
The stairs creaked under Rand's boots, let alone Loyal's. Rand was not sure if the building would stand up much longer. He found the door and knocked, wondering who Dina was.
"Come in,"
a woman's voice called.
"I cannot open it for you."
Rand opened the door hesitantly and put his head in. A big, rumpled bed was shoved against one wall, and the rest of the room was all but taken up by a pair of wardrobes, several brass-bound trunks and chests, a table and two wooden chairs. The slender woman, sitting cross-legged on the bed with her skirts tucked under her, was keeping six colored balls spinning in a wheel between her hands.
"Whatever it is," she said, looking at her juggling, "leave it on the table. Tom will pay you when he comes back."
"Are you Dina?" Rand asked.
She snatched the balls out of the air and turned to regard him. She was only a handful of years older than he, pretty and with fair Kyrianan skin, and dark hair hanging loose to her shoulders.
I do not know you. This is my room, mine and Tom Marilyn's.
The innkeeper said you might let us wait here for Tom, Rand said, if you're Dina.
Us?
Rand moved into the room, so Loyal could duck inside, and the young woman's eyebrows lifted.
So the Ogier have come back. I am, Dina. What do you want?
She looked at Rand's coat so deliberately that the failure to add, my lord, had to be purposeful, though her brows went up again at the herons on his scabbard and sword hilt. Rand hefted the bundle he carried.
I've brought Tom back his harp and his flute. And I want to visit with him, he added quickly.
She seemed on the point of telling him to leave them.
I haven't seen him in a long time.
She eyed the bundle.
Tom always moans about losing the best flute and the best harp he ever had. You would think he was a court bard the way he carries on. Very well. You can wait, but I must practice. Tom says he will let me perform in the halls next week.
She rose gracefully and took one of the two chairs, motioning Loyal to sit on the bed.
Zara would make Tom pay for 6 chairs if you broke one of these, friend Ogier.
Rand gave their names as they sat in the other chair. It creaked alarmingly under even his weight, and asked doubtfully,
Are you Tom's apprentice?
Dina gave a small smile.
You might say that.
She had resumed her juggling, and her eyes were on the whirling balls.
I have never heard of a woman gleeman, Loyal said.
I will be the first.
The one big circle became 2 smaller overlapping circles.
I will see the whole world before I am done. Tom says once we have enough money, we will go down to Tyr.
She switched to juggling 3 balls in each hand.
And then maybe out to the Seafolk's Islands. The Athan Mier paid Gleeman well.
Rand eyed the room, with all the chests and trunks. It did not look like the room of someone intending to move on soon. There was even a flower growing in a pot on the windowsill. His gaze fell on the single big bed where Loyal was sitting.
This is my room. Mine and Tom Marilyn's.
Dina gave him a challenging look through the large wheel she had resumed. Rand's face reddened. He cleared his throat.
Maybe we ought to wait downstairs, he began when the door opened, and Tom came in with his cloak flapping around his ankles, patches fluttering.
Cased flute and harp hung on his back. The cases were reddish wood, polished by handling. Dina made the balls disappear inside her dress and ran to throw her arms around Tom's neck, standing a tiptoe to do it.
I missed you, she said, and kissed him.
The kiss went on for some time, so long that Rand was beginning to wonder if he and Loyal should leave, but Dina let her heels drop to the floor with a sigh.
Do you know what that lackwit Shoffin's done now, girl?
Tom said, looking down at her.
He's taken on a pack of louts who call themselves players. They walk around pretending to be Rogash Eagle Eye, and Blaze, and Gaidal Kane, and... They hang a scrap of painted canvas behind them, supposed to make the audience believe these fools are in Matuchin Hall, or the high passes of the Mountains of Doom. I make the listener see every banner, smell every battle, feel every emotion. I make them believe they are Gaidal Kane. Shoffin will have his hall torn down around his ears if he puts this lot on to follow me.
Tom, we have visitors. Loyal, son of Arendt, son of Holland. Oh, and a boy who calls himself Randall Thor.
Tom looked over her head at Rand, frowning.
Leave us for a while, Dina. Here.
He pressed some silver coins into her hand.
Your knives are ready. Why don't you go pay Ivan for them?
He brushed her smooth cheek with a gnarled knuckle.
Go on. I'll make it up to you.
She gave him a dark look, but she tossed her cloak around her shoulders, muttering,
Ivan better have the balance right.
She'll be a bard one day, Tom said with a note of pride after she was gone. She listens to a tale once, once only, mind, and she has it right. Not just the words, but every nuance, every rhythm. She has a fine hand on the harp, and she played the flute better the first time she picked it up than you ever did.
He set the wooden instrument cases atop one of the larger trunks, then dropped into the chair she had abandoned.
When I passed through Camelin on the way here, Bozzlegill told me you'd left in the company with an ogier, among others.
He bowed toward Loyal, even managing a flourish of his cloak despite the fact that he was sitting on it.
I am pleased to meet you, Loyal, son of Arendt, son of Hallen.
And I too meet you, Tom Merrillan.
Loyal stood to make his bow in return. When he straightened, his head almost brushed the ceiling, and he quickly sat down again.
The young woman said she wants to be a gleeman.
Tom's headshake was disparaging.
That's no life for a woman. Not much of a life for a man, for that. Wandering from town to town, village to village, wondering how they'll try to cheat you this time, half the time wondering where your next meal is coming from. No, I'll tuck her around. She'll be court-barred to a king or a queen before she's done. Ah, you didn't come here to talk about Dina. My instruments, boy. You've brought them?
Rand pushed the bundle across the table. Tom undid it hurriedly. He blinked when he saw it was his old cloak, all covered with colorful patches like the one he wore, and opened the hard leather flute case, nodding at the sight of the gold and silver flute nestled inside. I earned my bed and meals with that after we parted, Rand said.
I know, the gleeman replied dryly. I stopped at some of the same inns, but I had to make do with juggling and a few simple stories since you had my... You didn't touch the harp.
He pulled open the other dark leather case and took out a gold and silver harp as ornate as the flute, cradling it in his hands like a baby.
Your clumsy sheepherder's fingers were never meant for the harp.
I didn't touch it, Rand assured him. Tom plucked two strings, wincing.
At least you could have kept it in tune, he muttered.
Rand leaned across the table toward him.
Tom, you wanted to go to Ilion to see the great hunt set out, and be one of the first to make new stories about it, but you couldn't. What would you say if I told you you could still be a part of it? A big part.
Loyal stirred uneasily.
Rand, are you sure?
Rand waved him to silence, his eyes on Tom. Tom glanced at the ogier and frowned.
That would depend on what part and how. If you've reason to believe one of the hunters is coming this way, I suppose they could have left Ilion already, but he'd be weeks reaching here if he rode straight on, and why would he? Is this one of the fellows who never went to Ilion? He'll never make it into the stories without the blessing, whatever he does.
It doesn't matter if the hunt has left Ilion or not,
Rand heard Loyal's breath catch.
Tom, we have the Horn of Valir.
For a moment, there was dead silence. Tom broke it with a great guffaw of laughter.
You too have the horn. A shepherd and a beardless ogier have the horn of...
He doubled over, pounding his knee.
The horn of Valir. But we do have it,
Loyal said seriously. Tom drew a deep breath. Small aftershocks of laughter still seemed to catch him unaware.
I don't know what you found, but I can take you to 10 taverns where a fellow will tell you that he knows a man who knows the man who's already found the horn, and he will tell you how it was found, too, as long as you buy his ale. I can take you to 3 men who will sell you the horn and swear their souls under the light it's the real one and true. There is even a lord in the city has what he claims is the horn locked up inside his manor. He says it's a treasure handed down in his house since the breaking. I don't know if the hunters will ever find the horn, but they will hunt down 10,000 lies along the way.
Moraine says it's the horn, Rand said.
Tom's mirth was cut short.
She does she? I thought you said she was not with you.
She isn't, Tom. I have not seen her since I left Valdara in Shinar, and for a month before that, she said no more than 2 words together to me.
He could not keep the bitterness out of his voice.
And when she did talk, I wished she'd kept on ignoring me. I'll never dance to her tune again. The light burn her and every other Aes Sedai. No, not Egwene, not Nynaeve.
He was conscious of Tom watching him closely.
She isn't here, Tom. I do not know where she is, and I don't care.
Well, at least you have sense enough to keep it secret. If you hadn't, it would be all over the Foregate by now, and half of Kyrian would be lying in wait to take it away. Half the world.
Oh, we've kept it secret, Tom. And I have to bring it back to Faldara without Dark Friends or anyone else taking it away. That's story enough for you right there, isn't it? I could use a friend who knows the world. You've been everywhere. You know things I can't even imagine. Loyal and Huron know more than I do, but we're all three floundering in deep water.
Huron? No, don't tell me how. I do not want to know. The Gleeman pushed back his chair and went to stare out of the window.
The Horn of Valir. That means the last battle is coming. Who will notice? Did you see the people laughing in the streets out there? Let the grain barges stop a week, and they won't laugh. Galdrian will think they've all become Aiel. The nobles all play the game of houses, scheming to get close to the king, scheming to gain more power than the king, scheming to pull down Galdrian and be the next king, or queen. They will think Tommen Gaydon is only a ploy in the game.
He turned away from the window. I don't suppose you are talking about simply riding to Shinar and handing the horn to...
Who? The king?
Why Shinar? The legends all tie the horn to Ilion. Rand looked at Loyal. The Ogier's ears were sagging.
Shinar, because I know who to give it to there. And there are Trollocs and Dark Friends after us.
Why does that not surprise me?
No. I may be an old fool, but I will be an old fool in my own way. You take the glory, boy.
Tom!
No!
There was a silence, broken only by the creaking of the bed as Loyal shifted. Finally, Rand said,
Loyal, would you mind leaving Tom and me alone for a bit, please?
Loyal looked surprised. The tufts on his ears went almost to points. But he nodded and rose.
That dice game in the common room looked interesting. Perhaps they will let me play.
Tom eyed Rand suspiciously as the door closed behind the Ogier. Rand hesitated. There were things he needed to know, things he was sure Tom knew. The Gleeman had once seemed to know a great deal about a surprising number of things, but he was not sure how to ask.
Tom, he said at last, are there any books that have the Kariathon cycle in them?
Easier to call it that than the prophecies of the dragon.
In the great libraries, Tom said slowly, any number of translations, and even in the old tongue, here and there.
Rand started to ask if there was any way for him to find one, but the Gleeman went on.
The old tongue has music in it, too. But too many, even of the nobles, are impatient with listening to it these days. Nobles are all expected to know the old tongue, but many only learn enough to impress people who don't. Translations don't have the same sound unless they're in high chant, and sometimes that changes meanings even more than most translations. There is one verse in the cycle. It doesn't scan well, translated word for word, but there's no meaning lost. That goes like this. Twice and twice shall he be marked, twice to live and twice to die. Once the heron to set his path, twice the heron to name him true. Once the dragon for remembrance lost, twice the dragon for the price he must pay.
He reached out and touched the herons embroidered on Rand's high collar. For a moment, Rand could only gape at him, and when he could speak, his voice was unsteady.
The sword makes five. Hilt, scabbard, and blade.
He turned his hand down on the table, hiding the brand on his palm. For the first time since Selene's salve had done its work, he could feel it. Not hurting, but he knew it was there.
So they do, Tom barked a laugh. There's another comes to mind. Twice dawns the day when his blood is shed. Once for morning, once for birth. Red on black, the dragon's blood stains the rock of Sheol Ghul. In the pit of doom shall his blood free men from the shadow.
Rand shook his head, denying, but Tom seemed not to notice. I don't see how a day can dawn twice, but then a lot of it doesn't really make much sense. The Stone of Tyr will never fall till Kalandor is wielded by the dragon reborn, but the sword that cannot be touched lies in the heart of the stone. So how can he wield it first, eh? Well, be that as it may, I suspect Aes Sedai would want to make events fit the prophecies as closely as they can. Dying somewhere in the blasted lands would be a high price to pay for going along with them. It was an effort for Rand to make his voice calm, but he did it. No Aes Sedai are using me for anything. I told you the last I saw of Moraine was in Shinar. She said I could go where I wanted, and I left.
And there's no Aes Sedai with you now? None at all?
None. Tom knuckled his dangling white mustaches. He seemed satisfied and at the same time puzzled.
Then why ask about the prophecies? Why send the Ogier out of the room?
I didn't want to upset him. He's nervous enough about the horn. That's what I wanted to ask. Is the horn mentioned in the prophecies?
He still could not make himself say it all the way out. All these false dragons, and now the horn is found. Everybody thinks the Horn of Valir is supposed to summon dead heroes to fight the Dark One in the last battle, and the Dragon Reborn is supposed to fight the Dark One in the last battle. It seemed natural enough to ask.
I suppose it is. Not many know that about the Dragon Reborn fighting the last battle, or if they do, they think he'll fight alongside the Dark One. Not many read the prophecies to find out. What was that you said about the horn? Supposed to?
I've learned a few things since we parted, Tom. They will come for whoever blows the horn, even a dark friend.
Bushy eyebrows rose nearly to Tom's hairline.
Now that I didn't know. You have learned a few things.
It doesn't mean I would let the White Tower use me for a false dragon. I don't want anything to do with Aes Sedai, or false dragons, or the power, or...
Rand bit his tongue. Get mad, and you start babbling, fool.
For a time, boy, I thought you were the one Moraine wanted, and I even thought I knew why. You know, no man chooses to channel the power. It is something that happens to him like a disease. You cannot blame a man for falling sick, even if it might kill you, too.
Your nephew could channel, couldn't he? You told me that was why you helped us, because your nephew had had trouble with the White Tower, and there was nobody to help him. There's only one kind of trouble men can have with Aes Sedai.
Tom studied the tabletop, pursing his lips.
I don't suppose there is any use in denying it. You understand, it is not the kind of thing a man talks about, having a male relative who could channel. Ah, the Red Aja never gave Owen a chance. They gentled him, and then he died. He just gave up wanting to live.
He exhaled sadly.
Rand shivered. Why didn't Moraine do that to me? A chance, Tom. Do you mean there was some way he could have dealt with it? Not gone mad? Not died?
Owen held it off almost 3 years. He never hurt anyone. He didn't use the power unless he had to, and then only to help his village.
Tom threw up his hands.
I suppose there was no choice. The people where he lived told me he was acting strange that whole last year. They did not much want to talk about it, and they nearly stoned me when they found out I was his uncle. I suppose he was going mad. But he was my blood boy. I can't love the Aes Sedai for what they did to him, even if they had to. If Moraine's let you go, then you are well out of it.
For a moment, Rand was silent.
Fool? Of course there's no way to deal with it. You're going to go mad and die whatever you do. But Baal-Zamon said, no.
He colored under Tom's scrutiny.
I mean, I am out of it, Tom. But I still have the Horn of Valir. Think of it, Tom. The Horn of Valir. Other Gleemen might tell tales about it, but you could say you had it in your hands.
He realized he sounded like Selene, but all that did was make him wonder where she was.
There's nobody I'd rather have with us than you, Tom. Tom frowned as if considering it. But in the end, he shook his head firmly.
Boy, I like you well enough. But you know as well as I do that I only helped before because there was an Aes Sedai mixed in it. Shoffen doesn't try to cheat me more than I expect, and with the king's gift added in, I could never earn as much in the villages. To my very great surprise, Dina seems to love me, and, as much a surprise, I return the feeling. Now why should I leave that to go be chased by Trollocs and Dark Friends? The Horn of Valyr? Oh, it is a temptation, I'll admit. But no. No, I will not get mixed up in it again.
He leaned over to pick up one of the wooden instrument cases, long and narrow. When he opened it, a flute lay inside, plainly made, but mounted with silver. He closed it again and slid it across the table.
You might need to earn your supper again someday, boy.
I might at that, Rand said. At least we can talk. I will be in... The gleeman was shaking his head.
A clean break is best, boy. If you're always coming around, even if you never mention it, I won't be able to get the horn out of my head. And I won't be tangled in it. I won't.
After Rand left, Tom threw his cloak on the bed and sat with his elbows on the table. The Horn of Valyr. How did that farm boy find it? He shut off that line of thought. Think about the horn too long, and he would find himself running off with Rand to carry it to Shinar. That would make a story, carrying the Horn of Valyr to the borderlands with Trollocs and Dark Friends pursuing. Scowling, he reminded himself of Dina. Even if she had not loved him, talent such as hers was not to be found every day. And she did love, even if he could not begin to imagine why.
Old fool, he muttered.
Aye, an old fool, Zara said from the door.
He gave a start. He had been so absorbed in his thoughts that he had not heard the door open. He had known Zara for years, off and on, in his wanderings, and she always took full advantage of the friendship to speak her mind.
An old fool who's playing the game of houses again. Unless my ears are failing, that young lord has the sound of Andor on his tongue. He's no Cariennan, that's for certain sure. Deus de Mar is dangerous enough without letting an outland lord mix you in his schemes.
Tom blinked, then considered the way Rand had looked. That coat had surely been fine enough for a lord. He was growing old, letting things like that slip by him. Ruefully, he realized he was considering whether to tell Zara the truth or let her continue thinking as she did. All it takes is to think about the great game and I start playing it.
The boy is a shepherd, Zara, from the Two Rivers.
She laughed scornfully.
And I'm the queen of Giladan. I tell you, the game has grown dangerous in Kyrie in the last few years. Nothing like what you knew in Camelon. There are murders done now. You'll have your throat cut for you if you don't watch out.
I tell you, I am not in the great game any longer. That's all 20 years in the past, near enough.
Aye.
She did not sound as if she believed it.
But be that as it may, and young outland lords aside, you've begun performing at the lords' manors.
They pay well.
And they'll pull you into their plots as soon as they see how. They see a man and think how to use him as naturally as breathing. This young lord of yours won't help you. They will eat him alive.
He gave up on trying to convince her. He was out of it.
Is that what you came up to say, Zara?
Aye. Forget playing the great game, Tom. Marry Dina. She'll take you, the more fool her, bony and white-haired as you are. Marry her and forget this young lord and Deus de Mar.
I thank you for the advice, he said dryly.
Marry her? Burden her with an old husband? She'll never be a bard with my past hanging around her neck.
If you don't mind, Zara, I want to be alone for a while. I perform for Lady Arlen and her guests tonight, and I need to prepare.
She gave him a snort and a shake of her head and banged the door shut behind her. Tom drummed his fingers on the table. Coat or no coat, Rand was still only a shepherd. If he had been more, if he had been what Tom once suspected, a man who could channel,
neither Moraine nor any other Aes Sedai would ever have let him walk away ungentled. Horn or no horn, the boy was only a shepherd.
"He is out of it," he said aloud. "And so am I."